Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It's 8 o'clock on Thursday. This is LA Talk Radio, and you are listening to The Writer's Block. I am Jim Christina, and I'm in the studio with my lovely co-host, Bobby Jean Bell, and mystery guest number one. I have to tell this story because Bobby was there. I called her other radio show this morning. I did, and they just went, well, Gary had no clue who I was, so. But Bobby knew.
I knew, and he's a wonderful host. So
Gary
you
is?
Can't guess, and you can't throw a loop over him.
Oh no, wouldn't even try. I wouldn't even try. I will tell you though, Gary, get that hip checked out, would you? Bobby.
Yes.
How was your week?
My week was great. Thank you.
I hear that the concert series last week was phenomenal.
You know, if I couldn't have been here with Ed Erdelak. And you.
Which is a great show, too,
incidentally. And Russ. Then the only other place I could be was the Sidewinder concert, which was fantastic. But I got the best of both because I could hear. I went back to the podcast for this show. And
if you
have not listened to the podcast of the interview last week with Ed Erdelak, we would encourage you to do
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. It was a good show. But we got lucky. We got to talk to Bruce a couple weeks back when John was on the show.
Right.
So, it worked out well for us.
Yep.
You want to introduce our guest?
I'd be happy to.
Okay.
Tonight in the studio, we have a gentleman that is a great friend of both Jim and mine, and his name is Henry Park. And Henry is my go-to guy when I want to know what is happening on the big or small screen having to do with the Western. And he's been a wonderful partner working alongside of him for planning book events and author events during the last 2 years of the Buckaroo Bookshop at Santa Clarita during Cowboy Festival. And we're just thrilled to have Henry here. So welcome to the Writer's Block, Henry Park.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, Henry.
Thank you.
Wow. This is like a total honor. Actually, it is because I mean we're just like
come now.
Oh, truly. Well, you know, a couple of years back, you had me in the chair interviewing me, and so the
right.
tables have now turned, and here you are in our studio.
Oh,
so much fun!
Yeah,
you are such a diverse guy. You truly are. Oh, before we get started, I really want to thank you for the wonderful words you wrote about our show on your blog or on your page.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. It's my pleasure. I listen to all the podcasts.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
But we really, I mean, it was like, it wasn't a surprise so much as it was just enlightening just to read it. I didn't realize that we were really that good.
Now you know.
Kind of scary, huh?
Well, and Henry only writes the truth.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
My contract.
That's right. Well, we're going to cover a whole bunch of your writing tonight. I'm going to start out with your screenwriting because you got started pretty early at that.
Well, that's true. I actually wrote my first feature-length screenplay when I was 13, and it's still available. Nobody snap that up. In a way, I think I'm different from a lot of writers that ended up screenwriting because that's what I started with. I wrote short stories for a few years, and then really I thought I was just more visually inclined, so I started writing screenplays. I went to NYU in my last year in college. Gosh, actually, by then I'd probably written five. My last year, I sold a script, which is a car crash film called Speed Trap. We shot it in Phoenix. It starred Jo Don Baker, Tyne Daly. I wrote her first part as a policewoman.
Oh, wow.
And we destroyed 136 cars. That's
in one movie?
In one movie, yes.
Holy crud.
You know, it's funny. I one thing you can always look for in car crash movies, like, you know, from where they do a ton of those, is look for the cars that it's a weird pale blue color. That they call repaint blue, because no car actually comes off the ramp looking like mm-hmm. that. You know that car anywhere in a scene is going to be hit by something.
And how many times did you hit that car?
Oh, many.
I also see that Richard Jekyll was in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was a high school classmate of my mother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, Hollywood High.
He was such a nice guy. He was, I remember we'd be shooting a scene, and he would see, like, a little old lady looking over the railings trying to see what's going on, and he would take her by the hand and bring her up and say, "This is the director, Earl Bellamy, and this is Joe Don Baker," and everyone would be so sweet. But, I mean, he was the one who would go out and get them. He couldn't be nicer.
My mom always said he was a really nice guy, too.
So. I didn't realize, he was quite short.
Yes.
And I did not realize that, and it was interesting in the film because it would do things like he was an auto mechanic in it, and so he would be playing scenes with Joe Don where he was like scooting out from under a car, so Joe Don would be bending down, or other times they'd be talking while walking on opposite sides of the car, and he would be on top of a couple of boxes. And I'm not poking fun at him. It was an interesting thing because you just did not realize it because it was handled so well, like they used to do with Alan Ladd.
Hmm. That's interesting. So how did you, when did your interest in the Western, where did that come from?
Well, good question. I always loved Westerns. I didn't focus on them primarily for a long time. I was always known as a comedy guy or a film noir guy. But I, always loved Westerns as an audience member. And I guess there was a time when I was watching a documentary on A&E about various lawmen and outlaws of the West, and I remember being stunned when they had a picture of Judge Parker, Isaac Charles Parker, because
the hanging judge.
The hanging judge, because it was like looking into a mirror. The picture was taken when he was about 35, and I was about 35, I think, when I saw it, and we looked so much alike that it was really, really unnerving. The fact is, my full name is Henry Charles Park. He was Isaac Charles Parker, and Isaac is a very common name in my family. So I think the odds are quite good that we're related, although I have never checked because I'm afraid I'm going to find out we're not. But that really, I think, is what started focusing me on Westerns, just sort of personal interest there.
Now, Henry writes a fascinating, we didn't want to call it a blog, we were talking about it earlier, but it's on his website, Henry's Western Roundup.
The weekly online report on Western film production.
There we go.
Thank you, J. Michael Michael.
There we go. That's exactly. And I don't know that I said that in the introduction, and this is read by people all over the world and is a fascinating, Jim.
I read it every week.
Yeah, I know you don't miss it. Tell us a little bit about how that got started.
Oh, sure. What happened was I went through a period where I was always like catching a film festival on the last day of the festival or just missing, documentaries on A&E or something like that. I was always finding out about things late, and I realized that for all other genres, there are lots of websites to go to. There's lots of ways to know what's going on. But it's very hard to balance a laptop on a saddle. So Western fans...
I'll attest.
I'm not making it up. So Western fans never had, at that point, much of a regular source of information. And so I really started the roundup just thinking I'd start keeping track of film festivals and things like that. And then, very happily, I started meeting a lot of Western actors and getting invited to film sets. And it just grew from there.
And it grew from there. Because you do get to interview just like the best of the best on both the small screen and things that are being done today, as well as many of the folks that are still with us that have starred and are famous for films from earlier times. So you've also had to develop great interview skills through all of this.
Well, I've tried.
So he can give us some lessons.
Yeah. Stick around after the show.
So what would you say, is there anything that's particularly challenging through the writing process, let's say, of preparing, what you want to cover with your next edition?
Well, it's not divided like in a hard and fast way, but I sort of think of the Roundup as being a mix of just out-and-out news, movies that are being released, things that are going into development, you know, a trailer gets released, that kind of a thing. And then there are the longer pieces. And what I try to do is, when I started it, and actually, because I've been doing it for about 5 years now, and it's doing that every week is a lot. And I used to put everything I had in it every week, and that really eats up the rest of your life. Oh, so yeah. what I try to do is, you know, focus on one story that is not just going to be a, you know, current events thing, and then follow that with the rest of the current events. For instance, I just on Sunday I had got to do something very interesting. There's a director named, do you know Steve Carver? He was an action director, he was very busy in the 70s, 80s.
I don't know the name.
He's, although he hasn't directed Westerns, he's got a real passion for Westerns. And he's been doing a thing where for 22 years now, he's been doing portrait sittings with character actors, and he builds these beautiful Western sets around them. And he uses all sorts of 19th century photography equipment. He showed me a bunch of the pictures, and it's funny, nobody is smiling in them because he's using the same process as the old tintypes. Mm-hmm. You have to stand motionless for 8 seconds. Mm-hmm. And so I got to watch him doing a photo session this past Sunday, and so that's going to be a long article with an interview with him. And happily, the person he was photographing is Bruce Boxleitner. Mm-hmm. Who you probably remember from all the Gunsmoke movies and
How the West Was Won.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember him even before that when he was a model with Aramis.
Oh, I didn't know that. I used to wear that. I wonder.
I didn't know that either. Well, my goodness, the trivia does fly.
Well, I hope I'm right about that. If I'm not, email me.
Well, I doubt if Bruce will call. Speaking of calling, let's do a little bit of advertising. The Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley and Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall. If you want to call and talk to Henry or me, or I don't know why anybody want to call and talk to me, but Bobby Jean, the number here is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. And with that, I think we're going to listen to a little bit of John Bergstrom.
They saw guns on the hillside, or so they'd agree. A band of vicious outlaws, but only one was seen. He had a cloth sack on his head, a shotgun in his hands. He didn't fire a single shot when making his demands. He just said, throw down the box he ordered from the road. Throw down the box, it'll lighten up your load. I only want the money from the Wells Fargo line. You can go on your way.
That is John Bergstrom, who was a guest on the Writer's Block 2 weeks ago. He wrote that. It's called Throw Down the Box. Henry, I'd like to get into a little bit of your background before your page, mm-hmm. the Western Roundup. I'm good, trying really hard not to call it a blog.
Call it a blog.
Okay, your blog.
It's got blog in the address.
While you were screenwriting all these screenplays that never got sold, mm-hmm. what were you doing to earn coin?
Oh, that. What have I done? Delivered a lot of food. Taught a lot. Substitute teach.
You don't have to. You don't have to throw in the jail time. We'll just leave that out.
They don't pay you for that, sadly, except cigarettes.
And you've
and I've actually though in terms of film, I have done a lot of different things. I've done film editing, sound effects editing, Foley stepping. So, you know, some fairly specialized things like that.
Yeah. And you're not strictly a Western guy. I mean, you branch out and you do pretty much about everything.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also read in your bio that you worked with James Cameron on his movie
Oh, yes.
Yes, which was...
Where is it? It was Piranha 2.
Piranha 2.
The long-awaited sequel to Piranha 1.
Piranha 1, right.
And to all those listeners that say, I saw that, it's in 3D. No, it's not that one. It's the one he did in 1980 or 81. It was his first film. And I was a sound effects editor in there. I was in charge of screams and chewing sounds. And so the sound effects reels 7 and 8, and they were very full. But it was interesting thing about him is he was such a perfectionist even then, even on this really pretty bad movie, that he would not use any of the recorded sounds. So he said, Henry, we've got to do some new chewing sounds. So what he did was he made this huge vat of oatmeal, and we put the mic down in it. We got wooden spoons, and he had just had us slapping these spoons in and out of the thing. It would make this sort of slurpy kind of sound. And then he got sheets of cardboard. And do you know what pinking shears are?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The scissors with the cross
yes.
teeth.
Yes.
So he had us cutting through the cardboard as fast as we could. So, and then he would mix the slurping sounds of the spoons and the oatmeal with the chewing sounds of cutting it. And it really does sound like you would think people being eaten by piranhas would sound.
Really?
Wow.
How delightful.
How did he think of that? You know, how did he think of putting those two things together? That's fascinating.
Oh, actually, one other sound job that I did, oddly enough, there was a funny series called Square Pegs. It was a thing about kids in, trying to be popular in high
right.
school. And I never got a job on it, but I was hanging out with all the editors trying to get on it. And unfortunately, they couldn't fire anyone, so I didn't get there. But I did do a bit in their Halloween show, which was a spoof on the movie Halloween. And so my pal Jay came and had cut the episode, and they got all these shots of stalking people looking through the Halloween mask. And he said, this is just boring. This is flat. There's something missing. He said, I know what it is. What do they always have in those scenes where they're following people? Heavy breathing. I'll bring in Henry. So he puts a mic in, you know, puts me in there, puts a mic in front of me, and says, breathe. And they used it, and it really helped make that sequence work. But the funny thing is, because there were so many sound editors on that show, they kept my and when they needed it, they would use it in other things. So I would get calls and emails from friends saying, watch this new horror movie. Or, you know, you're heavy breathing in it. Watch this new Star Wars parody because you're the voice of Darth Vader. Watch this, you know, underwater film because you're the sound of the guy in the scuba equipment.
Oh, that's great.
I never got paid. I did get a shirt that said Square Pegs and The Breather on the back. But that's been used in dozens and dozens of films and TV shows.
What a great trivia question, you know?
Who did the breather on Square Pegs?
Oh.
Henry Park.
Oh, Henry, that's...
We now know.
That's
10
rich.
Points.
That's rich.
What are some of your favorite stories from your years doing the blog and doing screenwriting and...
Stories that I wrote?
Stories that you actually participated in.
Oh.
Some of the stuff that's happened to you over the years that... might be mildly amusing.
Oh dear. let's see what I won't get sued over.
That's okay. I don't think our fan will mind it.
I don't know. He's pretty temperamental.
I forget that you are one.
It's me. I'll be listening to the podcast and what is that story
there you go.
He's going to do? But actually I you know, there are people who think that screenwriting is like making sausage or anything else, and that you know, you can essentially teach a machine or any idiot to do it. And people are always trying to make things that are creative into something that can be manufactured. And I remember one time I had a development deal on a picture, and we had worked out a first draft of the script, and everyone was very happy with it. And then I went in and had a meeting with a consultant they had gotten. And she had this whole list of things. She was a follower of a man named Sid Fields.
Well, we have a call.
Oh.
Okay, ready?
Sure.
Hi, you're on the writer's block. Who are we talking to?
Courtney.
Courtney?
Courtney? How you doing?
Oh, fine.
Boy, you are just coming in like a gravel truck.
Man, wow, I'm getting a lot of static.
Yeah. You want to hang up and try it again?
Yeah, let's try it again.
Okay. I always wanted to hang up on Court.
I thought maybe he was doing some special effects.
I know. You know, huh?
Just to follow up on that story.
The underwater breathing stuff, you know.
Either, knowing Court, you know, he's talking through something. Or
yeah.
Well, until he calls back, I'll just say quickly that I was presented with this whole breakdown of not just my movie, but all movies. All movies were 136 pages or less. You had to introduce all lead characters by page 26.
Okay, here he is. Let's see if we got
this. Oh, how interesting.
Are you back?
There we are.
There you go.
There he is.
Hey, Court, what do you say?
How's it going?
Well, hey, I am calling into the writer's block.
Yes, you are. Considering you were the first one to warm our chair.
Oh, well, and there you go. And you're a very special guest this evening.
Yes, he is a special guest, isn't he?
Oh, shucks.
hey, Court, I think you and Henry worked recently on an audio commentary on something together. Did you?
Yeah, we did Man, Pride, and Vengeance for Blue Underground.
Oh, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Henry?
Oh, who, me? Oh.
Well, either one of you is fine.
We're together.
Well, because now you are officially on the show, Court.
That's right. Well, it was great fun, and it was a Franco Nero Western, but it was sort of pretending to be a Western at the same time. It was a version of one of the most popular operas of all time. And how can I be going blank on the title, Court?
Carmen.
Carmen.
Oh, Carmen. Oh, sure.
Not Miranda.
Yeah. No.
No. And in fact, it was based on the original story that Carmen, the opera was based on.
Oh, so like the remake of Carmen Jones?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we had a great time doing that.
Well, you know, what was so strange is we were asked to do that, and, you know, this movie is kind of obscure. Franco Nero and Tina Oman, Klaus Kinski was in it. They did a beautiful restoration job. It was just gorgeous. I think, Henry, of so many of the things that I've done with you and everything we've done together, this seemed to have gotten the biggest reaction. It just has really taken off because the film has this cult reputation way beyond anything I ever realized.
Oh, yeah, I was stunned. I was barely aware of it until we were told, you're going to do it. Watch it.
Well, you don't think that it's taken off because of the two of you?
Well...
Oh, of course.
I gotta say, seriously, we got better reviews, and I mean, I didn't even know people reviewed audio commentaries. We got better reviews on that than anything that, you know, I have done on purpose.
That's great.
Yeah, no, I think the reviews were really incredible. And the ones that mentioned the commentary were very complimentary, which was very, very kind. Especially when we ever to do anything with Blue Underground, it's always so much fun, but they like to do it very kind of course, we prepare and we know what we're doing, and we're usually very familiar with the movies, but they like it to be kind of off the cuff and like a couple of guys sitting around in the living room talking about the movie, so we meander around a little bit and try and have fun with it, but I had no idea how this was going to turn out, and so it was very, very rewarding. It turned out so well.
Yeah, I had a great time doing that, and I think one of the things that you and I, having done, well, what, is this our fourth or fifth that we've done together? I know you've done
fourth or fifth, yeah, one of the, right. Yeah, fourth or fifth, yeah.
And one thing is, I know we both do a whole lot of preparation, a lot of research, just so, you know, when people come on screen, we know who they are and what they've done before and what happened to them after. But one thing I think that we do that is smart is we don't talk to each other about them. We don't say, you know, compare notes before going in.
No. And I think that adds to the conversational feel when we do these things together. And I think that's a big plus. And it can be, because it can be, these things can be very stilted sometimes, and Lord knows we certainly listened to enough of them. And, but I was really pleased just that this one, this was a little bit of a question mark because, it was not a particularly famous film, and even though it had some wonderfully famous people in it, so, the reaction's just been terrific.
Well, you know, Court, I know Henry has done like four or five of these commentaries. I heard through the grapevine that you've done 42?
Including the on-screen documentaries and stuff, yeah, that is correct. That is actually the number, yes.
That's it. Don't bother even asking me to borrow $5 again. You're done.
Well, I might have to since I never get paid. So.
That's right. That is the dirty little secret is you don't get paid to do these.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Yeah. So can we? Yeah. So can we expect?
Actually, Andrew, you know, I was calling in to see if you guys had talked about what Miles sent us this morning, which is the big news about Bone Tomahawk having its big debut.
No, we hadn't started talking about anything to do with upcoming movies. But yeah, it's September 24th at what film festival is that?
It's a science fiction and fantasy film festival, and I'm trying to remember which one, but it was in Deadline today, and The Wrap. And as we know, I mean, Henry and I have both been looking so forward to Bone Tomahawk, and he's done some wonderful coverage on the movie, and this is the big horror western with Kurt Russell that Tim Olyphant actually was supposed to co-star in, and he dropped out. But Henry's done a lot of work and interviewing the filmmakers and... tried to get the message out there. The movie's actually going to end up making a real splash, which is neat.
Yes, indeed. And I had a great time on the set of that one.
Where did they film that?
We're in a barn.
In a barn?
The scene that I was at, it was in a barn far out beyond Bakersfield somewhere, in a barn that is about 150 years old.
Holy mackerel.
Because, of course, it is a period thing. It's actually kind of wild what is going on right now. We are suddenly getting a huge convergence of Westerns. I don't know what a regular release date for that, but I would think it's going to be fairly soon. And, you know, on Christmas Day, we're going to have two major Westerns opening on Christmas, Hateful Eight and The Revenant. And when is the last time anything like that has happened?
I can't remember.
No, I remember. I remember when Tombstone opened on Christmas Day because we actually
went. Yes, but that was one.
Yeah,
he's talking two.
I know, and I can't even. You know, I can't remember what else has ever on Christmas Day that's been of interest to me. Anyway.
Oh, and have you heard the other news today? The not so cheerful news. Court and I have been looking forward to Jane Got a Gun, the Natalie Portman produced and starring Western, that started with terrible trouble when the original director walked off the first day of shooting. And so they've been struggling. They got it done, and they keep announcing dates and have been putting them off. And it was supposed to come out late September, I think. And not only is it now not scheduled, but Relativity Media, who made it, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Oh, that's not good.
No, that's not good.
So, Court, what do you got going next, real quick?
Well, I'm still slogging away on my underwater adventure stuff for Tor Forge, and, as far as the Western's going, we're going to start doing a little bit of work over at Paramount on a new on a Western pilot here. I don't mean to be precious. I'm just kind of bound and gagged a little bit. But it's a movie company is a studio is actually having me write a pilot for a new Western television
cool.
series.
Cool!
Oh, wow!
Fabulous!
Looking forward to that. You heard it here first.
Yep, you heard it on the writer's block. All of our fan.
Yes, yes.
Our fan is sitting in the studio. Yeah. Well, look, Court, thanks for calling in, pal.
Well, thank you, and hey, guys, Fight on and write on.
Done deal.
Done deal. It took me all day to come up with
it. You know what? I think you just got our tagline.
You just did. Okay. Fight on and write on. Right, that's it.
I'm writing that down, Jim.
Take care, my friend.
Okay.
Thanks, Court Joyner.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Too fun. When did you and Court first meet? Do you remember?
You know what? There was a little video store on Van Nuys Boulevard for a couple of years called Spudik's Movie Empire, which was run by a guy named Eric Spudik, who's an actor, writer, director, and general movie nut. And it was, you know, it's a place where you bought used VHS tapes, but it became sort of a salon. And I started hanging out there, and that's actually Spudik's one of the first people I asked, do you think that anyone would be interested in this blog? Yes, I called it a blog then. And he thought he was one of the first people to encourage me to do it. And it's in many ways hanging out there and the people that I met, like Court particularly, was a huge turning point for me career-wise.
You know, that's just an interesting story on so many levels, because I think as we, you know, more and more things happen online and we mm-hmm. lose these kind of places, whether they're, you know, indie bookshops or they're the record stores, the film stores, we lose that opportunity to meet other people that are in the same,
right.
you know, interests that we have.
Right.
It's more than just the merchant, you know, it's more than what you came in to buy.
I mean, right.
So that's fascinating. Yeah.
So anybody wants to call in and talk to Mr. Park?
Yeah, especially if you have a question for Henry, like, what's your number one favorite Western
film? Number here is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. I'm going to do my Rush Limbaugh. And we're going to take a quick break. And we're back. And if you're just now joining us, how come? Why'd you wait so long? We're brought to you by Black Dog Publishing and Out West Boutique and Cultural Center. We're in the studio with Henry Park tonight. The numbers here are 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929, if you want to call in. And your take on Westerns, they're coming back, they're not coming back?
Oh, I think they're coming back very strong. And internationally, it's an interesting thing. In the past few weeks, I've seen a very good Scottish Western, Slow West, a good Argentinian one, Ardor. And a few months ago, there was a really delightful spaghetti Western, Six Bullets to Hell, which, when I say it's spaghetti Western, they went to Almeria, Spain to shoot it with an international cast. And they shot it the old way, without sync sound, and just dubbed it later, so mm-hmm. which is how they were able to shoot the whole thing. And I forget what it was, like a 15-day shooting schedule or something, and did the whole feature that way. The dubbing took a whole lot longer, I understand. But there's an awful lot on the horizon. We've got the Westworld miniseries coming
right.
mm-hmm. from HBO. Mm-hmm. Next month they start. HBO also starts shooting a Lewis and Clark miniseries starring Casey Affleck.
Oh, wow.
Brad Pitt is among the producers. I think maybe Tom Hanks, too. There's
that should be interesting.
I was just talking to Walter Mirisch, the producer who did The Magnificent Seven, among mm-hmm. other things, and he's doing Magnificent Seven again.
Well,
because
the series flopped.
Well, the series flopped. The first movie did great. The second movie did pretty good. The third and fourth.
The 17th movie, not so much.
But yeah, they did four. They did the series. But now they're doing it with Denzel Washington starring, and so you know
that'll be a different take on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's, there's a lot of stuff coming up.
And that's all big screen. What's happening on, well, no, some of that, you said miniseries, yeah. So some of that's TV.
Right.
What do we see any other favorite things coming back on TV?
Well, Longmire's coming back.
Longmire's coming back. Yay!
Oh, boy, I had fun. I was just interviewing Craig Johnson, who, of course, writes the Longmire novels that they're all based on, and Zahn McLarnon, who plays, Officer... Oh, gosh, I'm blacking out on his name. He's the Indian police officer who is always fighting over jurisdiction.
Yes.
But that was a really...
Matthias.
Thank you, Officer Matthias. But, yeah, that was interesting because we just about lost that. And, considering we're about to have our last season of Hell on Wheels, and mm-hmm. we've already lost Justified,
mm-hmm.
it's... Yep. We don't need to lose more.
No,
well, Hell on Wheels, I think they split it into the final season. They split it into... It's going to extend into 2016.
That's right, 7 and 7. I got to talk to Anson Mount about that. And, gosh, he's such an interesting guy because he is, in addition to being a really good actor, he is so into the history of it.
But, you can tell he's done his homework.
Oh, yes. We'll be next month in True West. I have my interview with him talking all about the end of that show, but how much fun it was doing it, what's going on in this last split season.
So speaking of True West, magazine.
Yes.
Tell us about what you are doing with True West magazine.
Oh, sure. I'd be delighted. I am now the film editor for True West. That's happened, I guess, about 2 or 3 months ago. And it's funny, the reason that they needed a new film editor was because the man who just called in, Courtney Joyner, who's been their film editor for several years and done a wonderful job, he's got movies that are happening, and so he had to, something had to give. And so luckily the people at True West had read Henry's Western Roundup, so they hired me. So now I'm doing both of those things.
Isn't that great? So Henry also was our first... columnist or journalist or film editor, and another reason why we consider him a writer, even though he's so involved in
and
film.
He's the only blogger that's ever been inducted into the Western Writers Association.
That's right.
That's very exciting.
It's sort of funny, cause ironically, because now I could probably get in writing for True West, but yeah, I was the first to get on Strictly on Electronic Media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then that's a wonderful group, the Western Writers of America. Oh. It's really a terrific group. Did you go to the conference they just had? Were you able to get there?
In Lubbock? No, I couldn't get away from that, unfortunately.
See, I didn't go either. I'm a member, too.
Well,
where's the next one? Is it Cheyenne?
Yeah, I think it's Cheyenne 2016.
Well, somebody from the Writer's Block needs to go to interview
bon
the writers there. But I'm not a member, see?
That's true, you're not. Okay, I'll go.
There you go. You must have another good question.
Who, me?
Mr. Christina,
nah,
yes.
I got nothing.
Well, it is a funny thing, switching back and forth between writing the blog and... for True West, because in a way you get kind of spoiled when you write for something on the internet, because nobody says that's running a little long or or a little short, you need two more pieces. You write what you want, and it's very different discipline when somebody says I need an 800 word article and a 70 word film review. And when they say that, they don't mean 74 words.
And a deadline, although you have a deadline in your mind always for Henry's Western Roundup, but obviously this is a different situation.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's deadlines that come way ahead of time. It's funny, I think that there's a lot of people that are, like publicists, who are not used to that situation because they don't deal with print so much, and print has to be done in advance. And so it's, when I'm talking to people about, this is the next thing I'm writing, that's for the November issue. And it is, the end of July now. So people think that's going to be Tuesday. No, it isn't like that. And
Right.
Planning ahead that way is a new thing for me.
Yeah. Are there other challenges that you've? That's a great one to think through. Are there any other challenges that you've discovered through the process of taking on writing for a magazine?
Trying actually to decide what market is right for a particular story is, mm-hmm. Among other reasons, because a magazine that is paying you to write a column does not want to have you then turn around and write the same thing for free on your blog. So you have to look at a thing and say, okay, this will make a great column for True West, and that means I'm not going to do it for the Roundup, and vice versa. You do a long, if I do a long piece interview or something for the Roundup, I'm not going to then try and squeeze a shorter one out of True West. You got to try and keep them separate.
Now, we were talking about red carpet events, and I would imagine between both of your writing jobs, you must be able to have access to a lot of these sort of fun red carpet events.
Oh yeah, it is a lot of fun, and it's funny. You can sort of tell how you're doing by where they put you on the red carpet. I remember I did the TCM Festival, Turner Classic Movies Festival, probably doing it for the last 3 years. And the first time that I did it, I was at the second to last spot on the red carpet before people walk into the Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, which was actually a perfect spot because at least I could see beautifully and I could take pictures of people with my terribly slow camera. and they had a long time to walk away while I was getting it. But the second year, I moved like 15 people to the east, and it just kept going. It was very nice. Although the tricky thing is, if you write for something called Henry's Western Roundup, and you say, no, it's very important that I'm there for the premiere of Sound of Music. Find us the horses and we'll give you a spot. So it does squeeze you out. Actually, the funny thing is sometimes I've done red carpets where I have been the only reporter on the red carpet. There was one I did one time where there were two photographers and me. And I had a particular focus because, writing about Westerns. But I had to interview everyone that came down the carpet because you want the people that run those events to like you. So I'm saying, okay, I'm going to ask people who have nothing to do with Westerns what they think about Westerns, and then I guess erase it later.
Okay, we have the question of the evening.
Yes.
The name of our program is The Writer's Block. Have you ever had the writer's block?
Yes, although my problem more often is not having something to write, but finding time to write. I have a terrible time with that, and it's actually it hasn't gotten better. Now that I write, one of the reasons I started writing Henry's Western Roundup, other than the fact that I liked doing it, was because I'm a screenwriter, and I thought it might be a way to attract attention to me, and it has worked very well there, and I have, frankly, met a lot of people who have been willing to read stuff that would normally, I don't think I could have gotten my foot in the door, so that's been very, mm-hmm. very useful. But what has been a problem is, trying to set aside enough hours to write, and Jim, I'm sure you know exactly what I mean, when you have to have hours of thought time, mm-hmm. that it takes a long time for you to decide what characters are really going to do, and you have to give them the freedom to do that.
Right.
And if you're doing that an hour every few days, then a script that would take you a week to revise may take months.
Yeah, I totally get that. Why don't you give us some information about where people can contact you?
Oh, sure. Well, of course, you can read True West magazine.
I do.
Good. Me too. I got to say, it was such a kick to start working for them because I've been reading it since I was 10. So now I'm starting to get the subscription money back.
There you go.
But you could find Henry's Western Roundup at www.henryswesternroundup, all one word, .blogspot.com.
Facebook?
Facebook, yeah. I've got a Facebook page. I think it's like H West Roundup. But if you type in Henry's Western Roundup, it comes up. I'm somewhere on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Email?
Oh, yeah. You have the email?
Yep.
Okay, it's Swansong Mail. It's the longest email address in history. SWANSONGMAIL@sbcglobal.net. And I've had that. The reason that it's Swansong is not because my career is over necessarily, but because I was trying to sell a script called Swansong, which was my version of the Black Dahlia killing.
Mm.
And so the problem is I have song mail in my address. This I've been doing this so long, it goes back before Gmail.
Uh-huh.
So Gmail is actually in my address, and then it's not a Gmail account. So you can imagine how many emails I never get because they send it to Gmail.
So it's confusing. Gmail at SBC Global.
Exactly.
Well, we've enjoyed having you here tonight, Henry. It's been great.
Oh, it's been a
it's
pleasure.
Been absolutely wonderful. Next week,
yes,
we have a new writer.
Yes.
And his name is Wayne Deal.
Yes.
And he has written two delightful, delightful books.
And I have read them both.
Aren't they just wonderful?
I just finished the second one, this morning at 3 o'clock.
Of course.
When I get my reading time in.
You don't sleep at all, do you?
No, not at all.
Yeah, he's written two books that he wrote primarily, and we'll talk about this next week, for his grandchildren. So he's a very interesting guy. Not
they
a hair
are
on his
fun.
Head.
They yeah. are fun.
Yeah, they are fun they books. Are they're
fun books.
They're really fun to read, and they're really interesting, actually.
Uh-huh.
And week after that, I believe we have who? You have the schedule?
Charlie Lesueur.
That's right.
And Charlie has a brand new book out.
Yes, he just sent it to me.
Yes, just like hot off the press. So he'll be calling in.
Yeah, he's a call-in.
He'll be calling in.
Right.
Oh, he is such a talented, knowledgeable guy and so much fun.
Yeah, you might want to call in and say hello to him that
night.
I
think I'll do that.
There you go. Why don't you?
Yeah.
That's on the 13th.
You and Court both. You guys can be sitting in the same bar.
We usually are.
And we are we're quickly approaching our time out of here. So once again, we are published or sponsored by Black Dog Books and Out West Boutique and Cultural Center.
SCVOutWest.com.
And that's it. And we thank you for listening, all of our fan who's sitting here in the studio. And we're looking forward to next week. Y'all have a really, really, really good week. And we are going to be out of here in a nanosecond.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.